5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Shall be found without the soul for getting down. spunk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no immortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one of all. A little bit of thriller there. You know, it's been a while since I've heard that. And, yeah, we should start with it. It's kind of fitting, I feel. We should start with that every week. But then I probably get bored with it. But, yeah, Michael Jackson and Thriller. I remember the excitement over the video. It was actually banned over in England on the... on the Top of the Pops sort of shows, because it was all a bit scary. But looking at what they show on the kids networks now, it's nothing. It's tame. So a little bit scary. So anywho, it is episode 90 of the New Panic Room. It's Thursday night, 9:30 Central, and welcome, dear listener. Hope you're all right this evening. We've apparently got a show. I've no idea. Literally just turned up. Sort of had a running around day today, so it's exciting for me. Just finding out what's going on. I tell you, somebody who does know. How's this for a smooth segue? Somebody who does know everything that's going on. I'm hoping that's Xtina. Hello? No, we seem to have lost. I don't know what's going on tonight. It's all scary stuff, but I'm not sure where Xtina's disappeared off to. I knew it was going to be one of these days. I really did know it was going to be one of these days, but... now, I don't know. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll see if we can find her. But before we do, because I can get away with it now because she's not here, we're going to play her theme tune. And we found her.
Hi. Well, you
totally missed your cue. Just tell listeners at home, I think she's having a poo. So
hey.
She did miss you totally missed your cue. How unprofessional.
No.
How very, very unprofessional.
We need to put that on the blooper show. I'm thinking it definitely goes there. And I was helping.
The blooper show is going to be a week long. I mean, what's going on?
Oh my gosh! Seriously, if somebody were to go through and find all the, you know, Xena's embarrassing moments, it would be like a week long. But I think they would be kind of funny, though, wouldn't they? I mean, you would spend most of your time face palming. No. And I think the first one would be with the butterfly egg thing or whatever that was that
The one about the butterfly. I think everything you said about animals ever. To be honest.
Oh my God! Yeah, I know.
To be honest.
It wasn't even the worst.
When I was openly mocking someone for claiming that ferrets were rodents, and they said, "Oh, are they not? Really?" You know,
it looks like a little rodent.
It does not look like a rodent at all. No.
Because, you know, when you go to the pet store, they're in there with the bunnies. So is it, I'm going to stop now. They don't have them with the rats.
To be fair, rabbits are not rodents either, but we'll move on from that. The point in England, the thing with ferrets is you send them down rabbit holes to flush out the rabbit, you know, because of the smell. So keeping them near the rabbits in pet stores is must be torment for the rabbits because they've got the smell of the predator next to them.
Aww,
and torment for the poor
sad.
Ferrets because they just want to rip the rabbit's throats out. So, yeah. So there you go. I'm dreading it. We have guinea pigs. I mean, the kids have got, my son's got two. My daughter's a guinea pig downstairs. I mean, if the ferret ever got out and ran right around the house, it'd just be carnage. It really would be carnage.
Guinea pig carnage.
It would be guinea pig carnage.
I was listening to the song Thriller, though, and I was remembering, you know, I had one of those crazy red jackets with the zippers all over. I mean, all the kids did when I was in school, and I remember thinking how cool I was with that stupid thing. They're so awful.
It was massive. I mean, I think it was in one of the best-selling albums of all time, you know, but, it's sad. I can't believe that. He's not with us, you know. It's one by one. My childhood is just sort of dying. You know, there'll be just me left at some point, I'm sure.
I wasn't a huge Michael Jackson fan. I mean, I didn't dislike him, and he definitely had a lot of good songs. But I was never a huge fan. I was always more into the hard rock than pop. You know, so.
All right, yeah. Yeah,
I love Billie Jean, though, so come week you have to play Billie Jean for me, and that's a really good one.
Yeah, I mean, we all like Billie because of the video. I mean, the video was scary. It's a law was increased by the fact that they banned it on Top of the Pops. So,
I can't believe that. Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, it was supposed to be too. So, like I say, you look at the stuff. I watch a lot of Nickelodeon. Obviously, Teen Nick and whatever the kids are watching, it's on a lot. You know, I've seen some of the stuff. I mean, they will play, pop songs. Do they still call them pop songs? And videos. And some of it is like, that girl needs to put some clothes on. what? You know, listen to some of the tunes even my 9-year-old listens to. I found out she gets a lot of them from my 15-year-old, so it's just there's no hiding from it.
He went through a really weird stage where he was listening to like jazz, and I thought that was kind of like super cool, and now he's into like 90s rap, and it's not cool but I remember all the songs, so at least, you know, I know them a little bit, but I'm like, why? You know, why are you listening to Tupac? And I don't get it.
mine listen to, and I always say, you can't have crap without rap, folks, but I don't know. It's just people shouting. And swearing. I mean, some of the lyrics, if you can call them lyrics, is just, you know, she'll put a tune on in the car on her iPod, and I'm just, you know, Sometimes it's usually a decent tune because it's sampled from something in from the 80s and 90s anyway.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then suddenly the language is just, and I'm sounding old now, but some of the language is like, what? What did he just say? He's doing what now? And it's, oh my goodness me.
Yeah, there was
my
one
goodness
song.
Me.
I swear to you, I'm glad we're rated R now, but there's one song out there right now that says, how's the chorus go? It's something like, I only love you when we're fucking. I mean, that's actually what it says in the song. That's the chorus. I only love you when
yeah.
we're fucking. That's horrible.
Oh,
yeah.
One of my favorite ones, it starts off, I was popping pills and fucking whores. That's the opening lyric. It says, what? Excuse me? What? What now?
Yeah.
And the,
I don't know
the
what's,
scary
what's
thing
up.
Is, you know, she never asks questions, so I assume she knows what it's about. Or
oh,
she's
God.
Just happily oblivious and it's just words, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. It's scary stuff. It really is.
I like to believe that they're just oblivious. I do, yeah.
Oh, do you know, no, these days, I mean, no, at that age, they're so worldly wise, it's frightening. The stuff they know. And they know
yeah.
of. I mean, obviously, they have the internet. You know, when I was that age, you know, we didn't. You know, and
right.
I learned
right.
a lot of stuff from my older sister and whatnot. But
I was
yeah.
the only child, which why I wonder about butterfly eggs. Yeah, I didn't have an older sibling. Mm. Yeah.
But
that's
I mean,
maybe
I'm a bad. Exactly. Well, that's the only reason I have you on. Maybe I'm a bad parent, but you know what? We don't have any of these adult filters or anything on the internet. Or they watch. Half the time I don't know. Certainly my eldest, I don't know what the hell he's watching half the time. But you know, the little one, it's one of those things at that age where you know the I'm a big believer in you know the stuff they don't get just goes over their heads.
Yeah.
Like she'll watch Archer, which is incredibly funny. It's as smutty as hell, but she gets a lot of the jokes. But you know, this risque stuff just washes over her. You know, I think you
yeah.
get whatever you know your age is prepared for. So, you know, when they go out into the world, they'll be well prepared. And they'll know, you know, they'll know that a ferret's not a rodent, so they'll know where butterflies come from. Unlike some people.
Oh my God! And what was the spider thing too? I didn't know about that. That spiders shed their skin or their whatever. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean,
I know.
I
it's really not
it.
Building. You're not building your case here at all, really, are you?
I'm not. I'm just gonna drink some more, and then people will see. They'll understand.
Good idea. Could you do that? I thought it was funny because when you missed your cue, and I was, oh, for God's sake. Because, I mean, sadly, Becky can't be. Becky's listening. Hopefully, get well soon, Becky. Becky's not been very well, so Becky's not with us. And you missed your cue, and I've had a day from hell. I just wanted just to switch everything, just go to bed. I just want to go to bed
now. We could have just played music for 90 minutes. We could have done that, right?
Do you know, could we? Yes.
No.
Yes, we could do that. Just put 90 minutes worth of tunes on and just go to bed. Yeah, great idea. But in separate beds because we're in different states. Just to clarify, listener. Okay. So, hey, Extina, do tell. What are we coming? Do we have a show tonight? Oh, I have no idea what's going on. What have we got coming up?
We do have a show. We do have a show, and both of our guests are returning, which, you know, you always say they should have known better. So
they really should know better.
No
yep.
No excuse for them. And nope. I am going to butcher Chad's last name. Is it Lutsky? Is that how you say it? Am I butchering it?
I'd say Lutsky.
Okay, usually I make
Chad
you Lutsky, say
yeah,
the name.
and Carlos.
And then we have
Carlos Colon.
Yes,
a great, great friend of the show. He's been on. He's been on a few times, and again, should know better, Carlos. You really should. You should know better.
And I love his.
Shame.
I love his music.
Shame on you.
I do. I love his music. I was
well,
so
we
excited.
As a,
yeah.
We will be playing out with a Carlos Colon and the Jersey Rouseabouts tune at the end of the show, so we can look looking forward to it. Yeah, well, we couldn't not, could we? We could not. So that's all queued up. Providing I press the right button. If I don't, I don't know, you know. It could happen. So, you know, Pete. I peaked and I'm plateauing now. So what?
Time for a monster. It's time for a monster.
You told me I'm not allowed to have monsters. You see, I'm like a kid with too much sugar, which isn't right.
You can sip it. If you sip it, I think you'd be okay. Maybe. I say that as I take another drink. So I don't know. Go ahead. Go for it. You know, we're just, I think Carlos might be drunk, you know, tonight, and that's going to be awesome. So, we'll, you know, have Carlos and
I. Well, he'll be in good company with you then. That's great. So
exactly.
Here we go. are you just going to interrupt me all night? I mean, is this how this is going to go? I mean, it's turning a bad day worse. You know, it's just going to be... Okay, let's just get through this. Could we
can do
try
it.
Get through this, Tina. Let's give it a damn jolly good go, should we? Right, okay. Without further ado, and I'm making no apologies. I'm a big fan of this guy. It's the one and only Chad Watson. Are you there, sir? Hello? Hello,
I'm
Chad,
here.
Are you there?
Yes,
hey, Chad, he's there. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, James?
Good. I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Back. Thanks for having you back. And I think I said last time that we were supposed to have you on for the whole show, but, you know... I don't know. I you just can't get good help, I think, is what James always says, you know, when it comes to me messing up.
You cannot get the staff. You cannot get the staff, so. So, Chad is here to talk to us about his latest book, Stirring the Sheets. Great, great tagline. A story of morbid desperation, loneliness, and letting go. Now, I'm hands up, I had the honour of reading an advanced copy of this, and as with all of Chad's stuff, and the big criticism of Chad, he doesn't write fast enough to keep up with my reading. So you need to write quicker and more, Chad. A brilliant story. I mean, it is a follow-on from Foster Homes and Flies, which actually did make me cry, I have to say. This one is, it's the same, you know, stop me if I'm gushing too much, Chad, but, you know, Chad manages to, without it, it's horrific without being horror. Does that make sense? It's about the human condition. I'm not going to give, I'll let Chad, if he wants to do spoilers, he can, but I'm not going to spoil it. He's got a knack of getting ahead of these people that he writes about and taking you along inside their mind. And far from being monsters, the protagonist in this one is a great guy. You know, he's a sad character, really. You know, his life has dealt him a blow or two, but. Beautifully written, Chad. I'm going to stop gushing now. So.
Well, thanks for all the praise, man. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
I love the cover.
So, I mean, obviously the inside is what counts, actually, you know, but
well, I didn't
the,
get the
words and that. I just
read it. So.
Oh, you must treat yourself. I will treat you to a copy. I will get a copy out to you, but I have to ask Chad. I mean, what inspired this one?
You know what? I don't really have an answer. I can't even remember where I came up with the idea. I cannot remember. I don't have any cool story to tell you about the genesis of it. I just thought, what if this happened? And once I came up with the idea, the most important thing for me was to make sure that the protagonist, Emmett, was a really likable guy, despite any, you know, questionable things he might do in the book. I wanted people to really love him, you know.
Well, again, so, I mean, I'm watching my words so I don't give anything away. I mean, but he does something. I mean, you can tell us a bit more about the book, so I would spoil it. He does something that you know, it handled a different way. I mean, it could have been an entirely different book. Handled a different way would have made him a monster. However, the way you've written this, you know, all the way through, I hope he doesn't get caught. Because he gets close, you know, and he's going to get caught. Oh, no, because it... You really feel for this guy, you know, what he's doing is you're part. I mean, yeah, and we said part of letting go, part of coming to terms with what has happened to him in his life. And he is deep down a really nice guy, and he knows he's doing wrong, but it's a case very much, you know, he's doing wrong, but for the right reasons. Yeah, is that about right?
Yeah, I think it's just a desperate. He's caught up in a desperate moment, you know, where, I mean, I think that we as humans, we're so desperate for contentment and happiness that we will do just about anything to get it. And so he it's, you know, he tries to fill a void that's been a hole in his life, you know, for the last year. So, but yeah, he knows what he's doing is screwed up the whole time, but
as a reader, you just want him to not get caught, please, because you know if he does get caught, he's in for a whole world of hurt, you know, and all through it I'm really rooting for this guy, you know. It's like,
yeah,
it's a lot like with Foster Homes and Flies, you know, the little... It was more forgivable with a little kid what he did, because it was a little kid, and kids do have a different view of the world, you know. But again, rooting for the little kid, you know, and he was doing the wrong thing for the right reasons, or the right thing for the wrong reasons. Yeah, either way, I mean, it works either way, you know. But I mean, I absolutely love this book, and you know, cool story or behind it or not. It's just one of these that just sort of develops in the back of your head somewhere.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I feel like I've been left out of the cool kid table here, because both of you guys know, you know, all about this book, and I have not read it. But I do want to hear more. So do you have a reading for us, Chad?
Yeah, I do. I guess I could give the synopsis, too. Basically, this old man, elderly guy, has worked at this funeral home for several decades. I think it's like 40 years. I honestly can't remember what I put in the book. But he is dealing with the loss of his wife, who had died a year prior. And he's just carrying on life. And at work, he stumbles across a body that resembles his wife when she was like in her prime. And it really messes with him. And so he stuff happens. And, you know, I don't want to give too much away.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, I have a reading that I guess something I can
awesome.
Read.
Awesome.
You all set?
Yes, sir.
The airwaves are all yours. Yeah.
All right. Chet is outside with a cigarette when Emmett pulls up. He stuffs it into the sand-filled ashtray near the door and helps Emmett unload the body. Hey, Em. Only one person ever called him Em. Kate. And he isn't fond of anyone else using the name. I got a question for you. I noticed you didn't use the needle injector, but used sutures instead. Isn't that a bit archaic? No teeth. Chet looks puzzled. You shoot the injector into receded gums like that, you're taking the risk of the wire ripping out. Nobody wants that. Chet says, I should have known that, Em. I'm sorry. Hey, you're here to learn, Chet. Speaking of which, call me Emmett, not Em. Emmett said it as kindly as he could, with a pat on the back even. Hell, I'm sorry, Emmett. Sutures for the edentulous and no more Em. Chet taps the side of his head like he's proving he means to retain what he's learned. So are we to get started on this one? Chet nods at the body as they pull it out of the van and onto the gurney. Not yet. Cremation. She can be ashed as late as next week if need be. This really gobsmacked the family. They're not ready, and they never will be, so we need to get... we need to help move them along, get this part of their lives over with. Car accident? Suicide. The word shuts shit up. He stares at the back body like he's never seen one before. You could see 1,000 thoughts fill his mind with 1,000,000 words to say, but none of them fit. So he just shakes his head and says, "Damn." Emmett nods in agreement. Silence is held between the two men as they wheel the body down the walk and into the building. Before they head through the office, Chet speaks up. "Emmett, please tell me you brought that plate of brownies to share because you're about to find one missing." Emmett chuckles. "I'm sure you earned it." They make their way through the office, the prep room, into the cooler. "I could use your help laying her out if you don't mind," Emmett says. "It's what I'm here for, boss." "Then we'll go give your work a once-over." Inside the cooler, they adjust the height of the gurney and Emmett unzips the bag. Unsure of how the woman died, Emmett prepares for a faceless mess, courtesy of a shotgun, or waterlogged and bloated from split wrists in a tub, soaking for hours, maybe days, until found. It's neither. Startled, Emmett steps back. "What is it, Em?" Chet has forgotten the M rule already. Emmett doesn't notice. "So many know." Emmett steps forward, looks at the body closer. Her pale blue skin is the only sign the woman inside the bag is dead. Her auburn hair is long with thick curls as though done for just this occasion. Traces of lipstick remain with small smears onto her chin, scars left behind by paramedics in their attempt to revive her. While some kill themselves with a quick impulse of anger or sadness, not considering the mess they'll leave behind, this woman cared very much, whether it was narcissism or genuine concern for those who would find her. It's hard to tell. But it's not the woman's beauty after death that has Emmett's heart racing, his stomach churning. It's the eerie resemblance of his late wife in her 30s. That's all I got.
I like that. I want more.
Yeah. Want all of it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's a great passage. That sort of sets it up. Like I say, I don't say too much. I don't want to give it away, but you know, it's and I think the way Chad builds the character of Emmett up is awesome. You know, you really feel like you know him. You feel like you've sort of lived next door to him for 20 years. You know, maybe he's had a beer with him or something. So
no.
I mean, is he based on any particular or?
I read it a couple of months ago, getting ready to have, you know, going through like a final draft, and I realized that a lot of it was based on myself. I think I have, I've got my worst fear. Well, one of my worst fears would be to lose my own wife, and I think that if anything like that were to ever happen, I can see myself doing some of the things that Emmett did as far as not wanting to change things around the house. You know, like he doesn't sleep in his bed. He sleeps on the couch because he doesn't want to, you know, mess with the sheets where she last slept. He doesn't eat food that's been cooked by other women because, you know, kind of, I can just see myself doing stuff like that, you know, like not changing anything in the house. I would just feel, I don't know, I see these movies and then the parents' kids die or whatever, and they eventually clean out the room and get rid of all their toys. I would be the person who would not touch a thing, and I would not let him, you know, I can see myself doing that. So some of those things like that with Emmett, of course I wouldn't go to the extremes that he ended up going to to try to cope, but I think that, he's heavily, you know, influenced by me and nobody else in particular, I guess.
No.
Yeah, my dad was, it was very similar. Again, I think that's why I connected with this. It reminded me of my dad. You know, my mum died sort of 24 years ago now. And until he actually moved from the house that they lived in, it was like they bought it, you know, it was like their dream house. And it was kind of sad because he would decorate. He was still there when he's big on decorating, but he would decorate it as she would have wanted it, or as they planned it before she died. And it was still, I mean, going to visit him was difficult because you'd literally be sat there, you just expect her to come through the door. You'd expect her to be, because it's just exactly as it had been, you know. And so it's obviously, I guess it's a common way of dealing with grief. And they say it wasn't until he moved, it must have been 20 years late, nearly 20 years on, it wasn't until he moved that he actually, you know, got rid of her, cleared her stuff out. He had all her stuff in the closet and everything. So, you know, I guess whatever it takes, I guess. And like I say, in Emmett's case, you know, he did what he needed to do to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was wondering if there was a lot of research that you had to do with, you know, for like funeral homes and anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos and then I read a bunch of articles, but the most information I got was I went to a Facebook mortician's page where people the people that are members there they all work in funeral homes, and I joined this group and I told them right off the bat, I was like, I don't work in the field, I'm writing a book, but I'm not here for war stories. I'm here for, like, you know, everything from business side of things to some of the procedures and things like that. I just wanted them to know right off the bat that I wasn't here to hear about, you know, what's the grossest thing you've ever seen, or I just wasn't, you know, I wanted them to take me seriously. And I met three women stepped up right away and sent me messages. And so over the course of, you know, 3, 4, 5 months that I was writing the book, I would ask them all of the same questions, and then I would, you know, get their replies, and then I would, to make sure that I would just compare notes. And but they were super helpful, and one of the biggest things I learned in this is that these women, and most of them were, two out of three of them were very young, and they weren't some goth chicks that got these jobs because they wanted to poke and prod at bodies. These are women who, like, they're really, all they want to do is really help, you know, in this field and in this business. They want to be there for not only the deceased but the loved ones, and they want to do everything they can to make sure that the whole process is, you know, really goes smoothly. And it's not that they think of it as an art project, but as something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done with, like, with heart. And I was so, after talking to them and stuff, a lot of that kind of helped me create Emmett as a character too, and have that same kind of attitude with his work.
That's really fascinating. I know that one of my very favorite shows was 6 Feet Under, and that was, you know, a family that owns a funeral home, if anybody's mm-hmm. seen that. And it was interesting, it really was, but I mean, God, I don't think I could deal with the sadness all the time. I mean, you know,
no,
to me, it would be very sad.
As a matter of fact, 6 Feet Under is my all-time favorite show, and it's not something I could ever binge watch. I couldn't watch more than 2 episodes because it would just knock me into this depression, and because it's so bleak. And yeah, as a matter of fact, that season finale.
Oh my God! I cried so hard.
Oh, I cried very hard, more than I ever have at any kind of show or movie or anything. Yeah, it tore me up.
I was sobbing, and even now, if I hear that song, the opening strand of the song, that
I can't even listen to it. Yeah.
I try to watch the show, I don't know, every couple of years, but it still never gets old, and I still.
Mm-hmm.
Just cried like a baby. It was probably one of the best shows ever, I think. I think the writing was great, and it was just so...
Oh, yeah.
It was ugly. You know what I mean? I mean, people were just... But that's what life is like. People are like that, so...
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
I'm going to have to watch... I watched the first couple, but... sort of drifted away,
great.
So... Now I'm going to have to try and binge watch it.
Yeah. I do think it might have been a slow burn, maybe. And you know, James is, you got to grab him in the first 5 minutes or he's, you know, chasing butterflies.
I just drift away.
Yeah.
I do. I just drift off. I see a squirrel and I've gone. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I think maybe tying him
But I did. I remember I enjoyed the first episode. I maybe even got as far as the second one, but I don't know, like I say, it didn't hold my attention. So I can have another go. I can try again.
You know,
what
I always found was interesting. Michael C. Hall. He played David in 6 Feet Under. And then he played, of course, Dexter in Dexter. And I always thought it was weird that in both shows, the father was dead, but yet...
You're right, yeah, and he would present himself.
Him. Yeah,
that's weird, I thought that was interesting. Wow,
so, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, but...
She's just going to talk over me all night. I knew this was going to happen. What are you working on now, Chad? And is it nearly done? And can I read it?
No, it's not nearly done. I'm working on several different things. I'm working on a book called Skullface Boy. That's about a 16-year-old boy who has a skull for a face, and he runs away from an orphanage and goes on a road trip from Colorado to California because he heard that there was somebody there that would like him. And he runs into all kinds of craziness. It's like I've got a lot of David Lynchian moments in there, lots of weird characters and stuff. It's probably, I'm describing it as weird fiction, like mildly weird, but not to the point where it would be... it's not bizarro, but it's kind of a draw on a couple different books that I've read as well as like David Lynch films. It's not quite that oddball, but yeah, I think it's probably the best thing that I've written and is definitely the longest.
Wow.
Awesome. So is it going to be a full length novel or what sort of size are you looking at?
I think so, but I'm not sure yet. But I've got a couple of presses that I'm looking at to send it and see if they're interested in it. And if not, I might put it out myself. I'm not even really sure yet what I'm going to do with it.
Hmm. When you're not writing, what do you like to read?
I read everything else, what everybody else is reading, you know, like Stephen King and Jack Ketchum and Robert McCann and stuff, but I also would like to read, I discovered this guy named Raymond Carver, who writes real clean-cut, like, prose that's, like, it reminds me a little bit of some of my own stuff, and he doesn't write horror, but he writes, like, these stories that are kind of, like, they feel dark, but they're not, and it's like you feel like something could happen bad at any moment. They're kind of like, actually kind of like a David Lynch movie, where it's just like, this isn't really a scary scene, but because he did it, it is scary. And so that's kind of how these stories are, but he's just great. And so I read mostly just like dark fiction. I'm not beyond reading anything like Nicholas Sparks or something, because I do like romantic comedies, and I love The Notebook. I'm not ashamed to say that I like stuff like that, especially indie romance films, particularly. So I thought about maybe picking up one of those books and seeing if I would enjoy it as much as I do the films.
Wow. Do you know, I've never seen The Notebook. Is that weird? I've never seen The Notebook.
Yeah, no. It is weird.
I don't even know what it's about. But I don't think
You freak. It's got everything. It's got a time travel feel to it. It's got romance. It's got heartbreak. I mean, it's a bit something for everyone. It's one of those. I think it's just one of those stories, you know, the films that you may happen upon, you know. But yeah, it's good. I mean, I haven't seen it for a long time, but it's one of those that sort of sticks with you.
Yeah, back at, when was it, Valentine, I watched I didn't think it was that romantic, but it was Notting Hill, the boyfriend was like, this is a great movie, you have to watch this, I didn't care for it, I mean, I really didn't, I remember, you know, it got done,
it was,
and
yay!
I wasn't taken
it
by,
was a follow-up.
You know,
it was a It was a cash-in from Four Weddings and a Funeral, which is an awesome, awesome film. Great British film. It was good, but...
I love Julia
Roberts,
but I just wasn't sold on her character, you know? I mean, I really wasn't. So it just was kind of... Yeah, I watched it, and I was like, yeah, I watched it, but not my cup of tea, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but you used to watch Four Weddings and a Funeral. I mean, that's one that you can watch again. And I must have seen that a dozen times, and it's still funny. It's still a brilliant film. So cleverly written.
Yeah, I think
your next project.
Oh, okay. You never steered me wrong yet, so I guess I should listen to you. The last movie that really scary one. What was that scary, scary movie? Oh, God, what was it? Come on now.
Well, The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I was petrified.
I told you. I
was cursing your name.
I'm assuming you've seen that one, Chad, yeah?
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I was cursing your name. Yeah.
One of the scariest films of recent times for me.
Yeah. The whole atmosphere was just really spooky. Well, I wanted to thank you for coming back on the show, Chad. We're just about out of time for our first segment, but we have all your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk Chad, they can go there and do that. And you have to come back.
Okay.
You have to promise to come back and see us.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
that's all we get. Okay.
No, it's an absolute pleasure again, Chad. And when the next one and the Soul Face Boy is ready for a reader, give me a shout, yeah?
All right, buddy.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, see you later.
All right, you guys have a good
Chad.
Night.
See you. Bye-bye. So, time is flying by. Time is flying
by
as usual.
I know.
As usual.
Yeah.
So, what happens now? This is where I usually press the wrong button, isn't it?
Yes. Not usually.
The past 2 weeks, I'm really focusing on getting the right button. So we will be straight back, hopefully, after this break.
Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
I never meant to call you when you sorrow.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, indeed, back to part two. Welcome back, Steve.
Hi, I had to refill my drink.
Can you, keep with the program, please? What is going on? What is going on with you tonight? Hopeless.
You know what? I blame being in Facebook jail. I'm blaming that for everything. I am. I'm in Facebook jail. They say that I, violated standards, but it was a naked bum. Come on now. You can have naked bums on Facebook. So I have some uptight,
Clearly not, no. Clearly not, no. You should know better.
Right? So I blame
better.
That for the funk. And my baseball team lost the game today. So they only lost by one. That's not like, crazy losing. So.
Strike one.
I've two words to say to that. Shite.
What's the other one?
Shite!
You asked for that.
That makes
you
laugh
totally
every time.
Asked for that. So, hey.
I know.
So,
we don't
have the delicious Becky, but I think we need to honour her memory. She's not died. it just occurred to me, actually, obviously, Michael Jackson and played Prince. Obviously, the connection is they are, two dead 1980s pop icons. So there's the theme. So here we go.
Hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
I'm going to review something. If you just shut the fuck up for 2 minutes, please. I don't know. I've been watching The Terror. It's on AMC on some evening of the week. And it's based on a Dan Simmons book. And here's the backstory. I mean, I read this book years and years and years ago. We were going on vacation to the Dominican Republic, I think it was. Because I'm such a fast reader, in the good old days when I had time to read for pleasure, I used to buy books based on the thickness. And that, to be fair, that's
right.
How I got into Stephen King to start with, because they're big, thick books. And this book is a doorstop. And it's a fictionalized account of an actual Victorian expedition to the Arctic to find the Arctic Passage. It's a great, great book, and they've done such a cracking job. It's just basically these two ships trapped in the ice, and they're stalked by some big supernatural being thing. That's sort of not even the true horror of the thing. The true horror is these men, and they're stuck there, and there's nobody's gonna, no communications. And you're talking years, and the food's running out,
That's
they filmed it so incredibly well. It's very well written. The characters are there. One of the main characters. I remember it from the book. He's killed off episode. He doesn't make it beyond there. It's like, if anybody's looking for the next thing to binge watch, it knocks The Walking Dead out of the ring, to be honest with you. But But I can't imagine there'll be a sequel because, I'm worried myself now. I can't imagine there'll be a second season because, everybody will be dead, I guess, at the end.
I binge watched Game
good.
Of Thrones. I just got done binge watching Game of Thrones, and I went through that really fast. And when I finished season seven, I started to watch something else, and I was not yet done with that world. I actually went back and I started season one over again. It's like I wasn't ready to leave the Game of Thrones world.
You've seen the whole lot, yeah?
I've seen everyone they've put out so far. I've watched everything, yep, and I'm starting over it again. Because, you know, the first
couple
of you're
going to have to wait till next year now.
Yeah, next year. And the first probably whole, I don't know, it took me a long time. There are so many characters. There's so many different kingdoms that it took me a really long time to figure out who's who and everything. So I'm thinking that watching it again now that I know who everybody is, you know, I might get some more out of it than, you know, the first time around. So, yeah, that's my review. And I wanted to give a shout-out to Becky, too, and say that I'm fine. We're all fine right now.
Fine.
But we're not fine because
fine.
Becky isn't here. No, we're not fine though, because Becky's not here. We're sad.
Not fine. And I also wanted to say a happy birthday in advance for Saturday as well, Becky. It's her 21st birthday, so happy birthday for Saturday. She needs to arrange to have a birthday on a Thursday, so we can do all of that. But does something happen now? Because Becky's not here. I'm all cock-a-hoop.
Carlos, you have to bring Carlos on.
Should we?
I think we should. Yeah, yeah.
He's there. He's waiting. We'll bring him on.
Are you guys finished bullshitting?
Carlos, yes, we have. How are you? So I can hear a guitar.
I'm in
Carlos, come on.
Mood
how are you?
Well, who knows what's going to happen?
Hey, play it. Come on, play. Serenaders, play us a tune.
Serenaders,
play us a tune. Yes, go for it.
You got any money?
No.
Go.
Take it off, James. Take it off.
Do you know I can be found sitting home all alone? If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Baby, if I made you mad, there's something that I might have said. At least let's forget my past. The future looks a bright ahead. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. I don't want no other love. But baby, it's just you I'm looking up. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. I don't want no other love, but baby, it's just you I'm looking up.
Thank
wow.
you. That was brilliant. That was.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
how
you.
Are you? How are you, sir? I'm seeing fine.
I am doing great. How about you? Hey, I'm losing you, man.
James, you're doing the demon.
What's the connection there? Can you hear me around there? What's that? I think there's something wrong with James' phone.
Yeah, there is. He does this every week, but usually it's not to the very end. But I think it's because he knew that, you know, I wanted you all to myself for the show. So, you know, he decided to.
Oh, Christina. I like Christina there. Christina. She writes books that make me feel dirty below the belt there. I like her.
What was that now? Yeah, I'm dirty and, wait, I need another drink now. I think I'm getting warm.
Yeah, you make me feel naughty. I like your books, Christina. I like your writing.
Oh, you did read it, didn't you? You left an awesome review, too.
Hey,
yeah,
I'm a doer, man. I read you guys' stuff, man. I read James. I read you. I even read some of Chad. That guy has got soul. I like the way he writes.
Yeah, but we're here to talk about you and in your book. So
talk about me, for crying out loud. I love when people talk about me.
I like it when people serenade me. So I'm with the you know, guitar and I wish I could sing because I, you know, that would be awesome, but I can't. So all I could do was just listen. And I knew the songs, so I was starting to dance around too, but and I wanted to sing, but I felt that our listeners would all, like, you know, start screaming and running in the opposite direction, so I didn't sing. But that
okay.
was awesome. That
Do
was
what
really
you feel.
Awesome.
It's all about doing what you feel, Christina.
Well, I feel like listening. I feel like listening to you sing more, but you're probably, you know. Yeah.
Maybe a little later. All right,
okay.
Now, did you see the teaser?
I did. That was amazing. I love that. I want to know more. I do. You know, I mean, I love vampires. I really do. I think that's one of my, you know, definitely my favorite of all the scary things or vampires. I was a big fan of, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and stuff like that. So definitely I love vampires. So tell us a little bit more about The Color of Dying.
Well, you know, comparing it to Chad, we have similar themes about the gentleman who lost his wife. Here is someone in our book who lost his wife, but he gets to see everything that she does because he's the one that died, not her. So he gets to see her live an entire new life without him. And you can imagine how that kills someone who was so much in love with her. Now,
yeah.
You know, that was something that I wanted to focus on in the story, and I wanted to focus when we created this trailer for the TV series that we're working on. I wanted it to show that this is just not about the fangs and the gore and the blood. This is about the human being inside, and I wanted to be understood that just the way Chad wrote in his book. You have to get those feelings in you first, because the horror is nothing unless you feel what the people are feeling. When you see these slasher movies and this torture porn and all that stuff, you don't really feel anything for the characters. But what's important is feeling something for the characters. I had someone who was very upset at me because one of the characters that she loved died in the book. Well, you know, that's what it's all about, man. Getting to know people, getting to know, and feeling what happens when something happens to that particular individual.
I'm just waiting for you to talk more because I love listening to you. This is really awesome. I should have another drink and just listen.
thank you, Christina. Anyone who's read the book, and so far we've had nothing but positive reviews in the book. And if anybody who is listening has read the book, please, more positive reviews. You'll have no idea how much it helps when you put positive reviews out there. Everything I read, I give a review on. I read yours, and I gave yours a wonderful review. The same thing with James. What happened to that guy? What happened to him? What, did he die or something?
Oh, James? No, he's still there. He's still there.
You there, James? Get on the phone.
How am I sounding now? Any better?
Better, yes, much better.
There you go.
Good.
James, you know, as someone who's read the book, you understand what I'm talking about. You have to feel for the people.
Definitely,
you feel for the people. The horror is that much more effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I was just into what you said about, obviously, I mean, I'm a big fan of slasher movies and torture porn, I have to say. however, you know, it's like disposable, you know, disposable books, disposable movie. No, it's just doesn't leave you with anything. It's, you know, it's an hour and a half watching people getting butchered. But, you know, like,
and you know something,
your work, you know,
but it's entertainment. It's entertainment that you're at a distance from it. You're not really feeling something for the people.
Yeah.
For example, my wife and I, we're having an Ash versus the Evil Dead marathon right now. And we love Ash. It's hilarious stuff. But you don't feel anything for the people that die because it's just so ridiculous. It's blood and gore and everything.
Yeah.
Here we're taking blood and gore and we're giving it meaning. When somebody loses a life in Sangre, the Color of Dying, you feel it. And I think we were talking about, James, I was talking about how you cry when you read one of Chad's books. I expect that kind of reaction with deaths in Sangre, the Color of Dying. Also with the sequel, which you will be happy to know, I'm past the halfway point.
Fantastic! Good man.
In the sequel, you feel for everyone in that novel. Even the people who are against Nicky, because Nicky is kind of the hero, even though, you know, he's a monster. Even the people that are against it, you feel for. And when you're writing, you want the reader to understand each character and know the good and the bad of each character, and then let the story play itself out. But I don't have to tell you
no,
that.
No, definitely. I think for me, I mean, it's, you know, as I was reading it, I mean, some of the stuff that happened to Nicky, certainly in his formative years, it's heartbreaking. But, you know, and I feeling for him, you know, he's okay, he becomes a bit of a hero on that, but he loses so much. And he doesn't become a monster as such, but much of the horror of the book is what's happened to him, what he has become through no fault of his own. And the family having to see his wife moving on and that sort of thing is that's true horror. I mean, Christina and I were talking before we came on air, you know, about what like common themes that scare writers. I think certainly any form of dementia is probably pretty near top of the list, you know, losing our minds.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because we think about, when we think about ghosts, for example, you know, the first thing I think about is being a ghost and being around to see your family moving on. That must be terrible. That must
yeah.
be,
yeah.
you know, if there's a hell, that must be it. You know, there's not a hell. You just, you know, condemned to walk the earth and see, you know, your wife move on and your kids live without you and all this, you know, life just going on. That must be so tormenting, and poor Nicky has to go through this, and he's sort of making the most of his situation. But you know, underneath it all, he's lost everything, and it's heartbreaking.
Now, I am very lucky. I've had 38 beautiful years with my wife. Now, so I haven't experienced divorce. But think about the allegory of Nicky observing everything that's going on with his wife, children, and her new husband. That's the same that a divorced man would be going through. And
yeah.
those are the kind of things, those are the multiple
yeah.
levels of emotion that go through this book. There's so many things. I'm really proud of the story that we've done and everything that's happening now, like we said. You know, we're working on a television series that's moving along. We still have a long way to go before, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have everything written and contracts, all of that stuff. But it is moving forward. And that's why it's taken me so long to complete the sequel. It was supposed to be completed last year, but I've been busy writing scripts and I've somehow reluctantly taken the role of producer, and I've been speaking to people, I'm talking about major people and getting people involved. Oh, excuse me, that's all the liquor talk, because I keep saying people, right? But anyway, we have at our fingertips right now, for example, people who, that's because I can't use names, you understand? For example, we have someone very close to us right now that's been nominated for 2 Oscars.
Wow.
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 The most recent project,
impressive.
Not the most recent project, but one of the most recent projects is the Dark Knight series in the movies. So we're talking to serious names. One of the people, for example, that we have working on the makeup and special effects is from Guardians of the Galaxy and Stranger Things. We have
that pedigree
within
for you.
Our grasp. We just need to cement the money deals. So, I don't know how I wound up in this role of being sort of like a producer, but I have, and it's gotten to the point where we're pretty close to getting this done. What did you think of the trailer? The teaser, I should say.
It was, I mean, it's obviously the third one you've done. I mean, they're all incredibly incredibly well done. I mean, it's atmospheric. It makes you what I suppose that's what a teaser's supposed to do, isn't it? Makes you want more
to watch.
Makes
yes,
you
definitely see
what is going on and who the scary looking guy is all about and whatnot. But I have friends. So I have friends in and around, you know, TV and movie industries, and it is so time consuming. I got a good friend of mine who's on about the 90th rewrite of something. It's been 3 years and it's still on and on, because every time somebody with money gets involved, somebody comes in, they want to change things a bit, so they have to rewrite, and that'll take, you know, weeks, and then somebody else comes in and it just goes on and on and on. So you know you have my sympathy, Carlos. I know. But it'll be worth it in the end when it all happens, and it's you're sat back with a bucket of popcorn watching it on the TV.
Yeah,
I sure as hell hope so. It's a lot of work and it's rewarding, but it's also frustrating.
Mhm.
I want to hear the reading.
Stuff. I mean, oh, do you?
What was that?
I do. I want to hear the reading. I do. I could listen to Carlos.
Oh,
all
the
night.
Reading! Holy shit! I forgot about that. Okay. Okay, hang on. All right. So, one of the things that I try to convey is that this story is not just humor. I mean, it's not just horror and tragedy. There's a lot of humor in it. And having read it, you know that Nikki is a tremendous ball breaker. Well, even when we're talking about the TV series, we talk about the fact that it alternates Nikki's past with his present, sort of like the television series Lost. So here we're going into Nikki's past with his brother-in-law, which is also his best friend, Dominic. And I think you'll get a kick out of this. Here we go.
Okay.
Dominic, are you seriously going to order that shit? Fuck you, you scrawny little bitch. At least my sister makes you nice warm meals for you when you come home from work. Patty wouldn't even microwave me a TV dinner. Dominic was twice my size and easily could have broken me in half. But he let me get away with shit that no one else could say to him. Look at you. Who the hell eats a 12-inch sub all by himself? What are you, 300 pounds? No wonder Patty won't have sex with you. If you get on top of her, you'll kill her. And if she gets on top of you, she'd be banging her head against the ceiling. You're up, said Dominic. Shut your fucking face and bowl. It was only our close bond that enabled me to be such a merciless ball breaker. And on our bowling nights at the lanes on Tarrytown Road in White Plains, he was a captive audience. We participated in a league there with some of his buddies from the NYPD, and every week our team would witness Dominic's gluttony when he ordered from the sports bar attached to the bowling alley. His sub would be loaded with ham, provolone, salami, turkey, lettuce, tomatoes, oil, vinegar, and whatever else they could get their hands on in the kitchen. By the time they finished with this sandwich, not only was it 12 inches long, the fucking thing was 12 inches thick. On top of that, he would order two liters of beer so the food chunks could float around his guts like dead rats in a sewer. One night, Dominic's order came in while he was taking his turn bowling. He was completely focused on the lanes because he was working on a 200 game. Unable to resist, I took the waitress who brought in his sandwich aside and paid for it without him noticing. I then hid it underneath my jacket. Our other two teammates and the opposing team played along. They laughed quietly as Dominic came back to his seat looking towards the sports bar, wondering where his sandwich was. On his next turn, when he was again in deep concentration aiming for another strike, all of us feasted on Dominic's sandwich, leaving him with maybe 3 inches of the former foot-long monstrosity. At the lane, Dominic threw a particularly impressive hook to get his sixth strike of the game. He strutted proudly on the way back to his seat, but noticed that there was still no sign of his sandwich. Our other two teammates and I couldn't hold back any longer. I presented him with the mangled remains of his sub. "Hey, Dom, your sandwich is here." He lunged at me, but I quickly leapt out of his reach. "Come here, I'll kill you." "You see, you fat bastard, if you weren't so overweight, you could have caught me," I said from a safe distance. "You can't stay away from me forever," said Dominic, pointing his finger at me. "When it's your turn to bowl, I'm going to kick your ass." Dominic was a good-natured guy, though. He cooled off quickly after seeing his cop buddies double over in laughter. He couldn't help but shake his head and join them. Later, after he reordered the same glop, I took the seat beside him and watched him gobble it down. Pretty good sandwich, ain't it? Dominic glared at me, chewing slowly before swallowing. You're a prick, you know that? That's it.
I love that. And I could see it happening.
I'm hungry
too.
Now. I'm hungry. I want Subway.
I know. I do. I want a sub too. But that was great. I could actually see that happening. I really could. That was awesome.
Oh, fantastic. It's a true story as well. I mean, I like that humor. I mean, you're quite right. I mean, the mixing of, you know, humor into the darkness, it makes the dark bits more awful, shocking. But it is. It's true.
If you think about it.
We find humor in the darkest of things.
If you think about it, I mean, if it didn't have this kind of humor, the story would be unbearable. I mean, it is so tragic and sad for the most part.
Yeah. You know, I find it common in your work as well, James. When I was reading Tenebrian, you know, there was some, you know, the humor was, you know, that was kind of breaking up the really scary parts, which occasionally I needed that humor as a little break in the, you know, what was going on. So I was like, oh, God, I'm glad they cracked a joke just then. You know what I mean? That was really awesome.
Well, James, like you, is a polished writer. I mean, he knows how to change moods and, you know, and he knows how to use words. Same as you, Christina. You're a naughty girl.
I try.
Yes, she is.
I try.
But I like the naughty girl.
Very naughty.
I think I'm going to go read her poetry again.
I had a new book came out just a couple weeks ago, Light Musings, and that is a little lighter side of me, not quite as dark and you know, a little more love.
It's still very naughty, though. It's still very naughty.
I like naughty.
In places. It is very naughty in all the right places.
Hey, Christina, this is for you.
Okay.
Baby, how I miss you. Since you went away, and I don't know what I did to lose you. You never did say, if you'd give me the chance, I could try to make it all right. And baby, how I miss you. I miss you tonight.
Oh my God, I love that song so
That's
much.
That's our favorite. I just threw my panties at the screen.
I would have thrown mine if I was wearing any. Oh, wait, was that naughty?
Oh my God. Oh, seriously. Family show.
Oh boy.
Family show.
Oh, that was awesome. I'm so flustered right now. I don't even know what to say. That was awesome. I love that song so much. I do. I'm such a fan.
Thank
I
you.
Could be
yeah,
a groupie.
Me too.
Yeah, I would so be a
we
groupie,
could do that.
But it would
let's,
be
like we have them. We have them over here, except that they're all like 70 years old.
We could be the youthful groupies, really. You know, we let's just pack all this in and be a groupie for Carlos. I'm game. I'm up for that. Not a problem.
Those are the 65-year-olds. They're the youthful groupies that we have.
Carlos, would you do 11 questions with me?
11 questions with you.
Yes.
I'd do anything with you, Christina. Go ahead.
Ooh, he would do anything.
Just a second.
You have it on.
Hello.
Pour another
now,
one for me.
That's scary. Yes.
11 questions.
I heard him say it. Okay. Number one, what is your, wow, I'm so flustered. Your best or worst movie you ever saw? The best or worst, yeah.
Oh, my God. We just saw the worst movie we ever saw. My wife and I were having a ball with it. The Room. That is classic. Come on.
Yeah.
You guys see The Room?
Oh, The Tommy Wiseau one. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you actually see
boy.
the Did you see the James Franco film about the make of that?
I did
Brilliant.
Not hit her.
The disaster.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's got the disaster artist. It is lauded as the world's worst film, and it's just it makes Ed Wood look good.
Yes,
great film.
So much fun.
Great film. Yeah, it's
yeah,
so bad. It's brilliant.
Oh, the best movie I ever saw. Did she ask me the best movie I ever saw? Also.
Yeah, best or worst.
Okay.
And
so the best movie I ever saw. It's a tough one because there's two favorites of mine. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and City Lights. Those
oh,
are like
good
a tie.
Answers. Yeah. Okay, I like that. What was the first grown-up horror novel that you read?
The first grown-up horror novel that I read, believe it or not, was late in my life, The Shining.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Oh, it is so good. I actually, I was on Stephen King's side when he said that the Stanley Kubrick movie did not capture
yeah.
the feeling of the book.
Yeah.
But you know,
no,
it has
I think
a,
I would agree.
A big following. It has
yeah.
a big following. I just thought what Stephen King did with that book was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite cuss word? I think you can make anything
sound dirty. My favorite cuss word is fuck.
Yes.
It's so versatile.
Yeah.
You know, it's an insult. It's fun. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a good word. Yeah, definitely. I think that should be everybody's. What's the worst way you can imagine yourself dying?
Well, it's kind of a spoiler from my next book, so I don't really want to say it.
Okay. You can save that. You can save that one for the next time you come back, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a spoiler for my next book. My next book has
okay.
some really. Picture a vampire story turning into the Da Vinci Code. That's what my next book
Ooh,
is.
Oh wow! Nice.
Ooh.
What was your very first pet?
My very first pet was was a dog named Max that my parents immediately took away. I don't know. Oh, you know why? Because somebody gave him to us, and then they wanted him back. So
Aww.
Then my parents had to buy another one.
Oh,
that's
boo.
Sad.
That's cruel. Yeah.
Okay. If it was legal, if it was legal
it was
to do so.
It was a miniature schnauzer, by the way.
If it was legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
I do it all the time.
You just never know what's going
on. Barbecue at Carlos's house.
No, I like it raw.
Oh my God! I'm gonna have the salad when I come over. Maybe some pastries, but that's it. Who's your favorite member of the British royal family?
She's gone, Diana.
Oh, that's a good answer. I like that one. Which is your favorite franchise? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
I would say of those, Halloween. Halloween. I think Halloween had the best stories. I even like Halloween 3.
Well, yeah. Well, you can
film.
Like
that
all
a
you
good
want.
Film.
Yeah.
The Season of the Witch.
What is your least favorite part of the writing process?
The least favorite part of the writing process? Finding the damn time to do it. I have my hats. I have so many hats right now with the music and the TV series and the book and my 9-to-5. I am burned out, baby. That's why. I'm enjoying some alcohol-tinged beverages right now.
I'm joining you, and I have to say, it went by too fast, and I'm so glad that you came back, and you have to promise that the next time you come back, it'll be for the whole show, and we want more
That was 11
singing.
Already?
I know. It's
Holy shit.
I know. We have all of your links put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Carlos, they can go there and do it, and Again, thank you so much for coming back. And next time we're going to have you for the whole show, and we want singing and more singing and more singing.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's amazing how quickly time flies when you've been drinking. So
that's
great. Thank you both so
as
much,
always, Carlos.
You're gracious hosts, people, and I like everyone, and I love everybody over here there at the Hellbound Books. Becky, are you over there, Becky?
Love you
say hello
too.
To Becky for me.
Hi, she's listening, so so she should be back in full effect next week. So I'm afraid on that note, we're gonna have to it's the time we say goodnight, Xtina. So bye, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Hey James.
Oh, and this one's
James.
Hope Carlos doesn't mind.
Is James?
Wait.
Try to make it all right, baby.